Hello, Unbuilt listeners. As you know, it's spooky season again. Last year, we forego the frights for Epcot month, but this year, you are not safe. It is time to begin the terror with the most fearsome one of them all.
Hi? Can I keep you?
Welcome, dreamers of all ages, to another episode of Unbuilt and Unrealized Theme Park Podcast. With me back after a good long month is my co-host, Ryan Dorman. How are you doing after this while?
Doing good. It feels like it's been forever. I'm starting to only think of built theme parks now.
Oh, that's where I was at built theme parks.
Lucky you. You got in right before the price hike.
Yeah, that just happened today. Out of everything, we have a war going on in the Middle East, but we also have first world problems like insane price hikes.
That's true.
Going on. Disneyland's like increased their one-day price to as much as $194, which I can't imagine going to Disneyland for $200.
Yeah, I would say if you pay $194 to get into DCA, you've been scammed. You've just been scammed.
I can't see anybody doing that.
I hope not. I mean, they will. I will probably, unfortunately, but they will.
You wouldn't do Disneyland instead?
Oh no, I would. If I only had one day, of course I would. My point is that they're never going to lower the price.
No.
Right?
That's never going to
happen. Although I will say, I want to talk about things that aren't Disney today. But I do think that this comes at the same time as that Disney Plus. I guess I don't think it's just true. This comes at the same time as the Disney Plus doubling the rate announcement.
It's almost if there's a fiscal year that just started. And I like Iger on his yacht earlier this year going, oh, you know, I wasn't really a fan of how Chapek would just keep hiking those fees. I mean, we're not appealing to the, it's like, okay, yeah, you're full of shit. We all know.
Well, if you're trying to sell off part of the company, you should probably bolster profit.
He's like, I'm not getting Apple. And then some of his other people are like, buy EA.
What a terrible idea.
Terrible
idea to buy EA. There's no way it's going to happen, ever.
I like how he's like, you know, I don't think that's a good idea. And for once, it's like, you know, Bob, I think you might be making the right decision by right here. Don't buy them. Please don't.
EA gets the other one. Disney Nelson, can get the annual Nelson, sports games.
Yeah, Nelson is like, hey, if I get my way, I'm going to sneak my way. I'm going to be like, buy EA.
Disney can do the yearly Madden releases and they can do Battlefield. That's because that's what Disney is known for.
That's a way they can get into, like, they were hedging their bets on not getting into, like, getting more into sports gaming, but now they have to get into actual sports gaming. So,
yeah, Bob Chapek's not looking too bad right now.
Oh no, he's just enjoying his golden parachute right now. That's what he's doing.
I bet he feels bad.
He's sipping a Mai Tai in his little mansion up there, being, you know,
don't see the hippos.
His jaws are clamped shut for his non-disclosure agreement.
That's right.
And he's like, I don't have to pretend like I give a shit about Disney theme parks anymore.
I'll give him credit. People said he was disconnected from the people, but he was aware that the big giant shower in his office was a really stupid idea.
He just let it collect dust. When Iger came back in, they had to like mop it up and
like, oh, I've got a shower at home.
Cobwebs.
Yeah, I got a shower at home. What do I need this for? But I guess to call the writers assholes. Anyways.
And now he's kissing their feet.
Well, the prices are increasing, and now you have to make up for having to pay people royalties.
True. Anyways, we are in spooky season. You don't do any of the haunt stuff, do you?
I'm too scared.
You're too scared?
Yeah, I'm too scared. I mean, maybe one day. If enough people subscribe to the Ko-Fi page on Unbuilt, I'll gladly do it.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to get you enough money to spend for you to go to, what's the Hershey Park one that they just announced?
Oh, they're
doing right now?
I don't know what they call it. What are they? Do they do scare houses now?
Yeah, they do. They just started it. If it's not this year, it was last year that they started doing it. And it's called Dark Nights. It is Hershey Park Halloween and Dark Nights.
Okay, I can see this here. I did not know that they had that. I mean, I was just going to say Halloween Horror Nights. I don't know why I would go to Hershey Park.
Well, I mean, that would require a flight on your part, though.
Yeah, but that's the whole point of the stretch goal. I would
get you to Halloween Horror Nights.
I don't think I could handle it. I get so scared of people jumping out at me. To be honest with you, the odds of me ever going on Skull Island, Reign of Kong ever again are pretty slim to none.
Aren't there? Well, is it because you hate the ride or is it because of the scare actor?
Oh, the ride's like nothing to me. But it was I really liked the queue. I thought it looked nice, but the scare actors really got me.
There's no scare actor anymore. And you'd think that thing lasted very much longer.
It wasn't recent when it opened. It was I don't think I was there around the opening time. I thought it was pretty late.
They've gotten rid of that thing now. Oh, it's like gotcha. too much scratch to keep that up.
Probably.
But I am going to Knott's next week. In fact, I'll be there in a week from today. So I'm looking forward to that. But outside of that, I haven't really been doing many like haunt stuff. And maybe it was the trip that kind of like slipped me up because it usually starts around there. And it is unfortunate not living in like LA where there's like stuff like abundant. Instead, like even like the big one out here, the Freakling Brothers one, they canceled theirs this year, so there's not much out here. I'm really looking forward to that Universal Halloween Horror Nights, which is going to open up in 2 years. Apparently it's going to be open 2 years from now, so when that comes, I'm really looking forward to that.
I'm interested in that. Clearly they found a winning formula with these scare rooms and what do you call them? Scare zones and mazes,
haunts, right? And mazes or houses. Yeah, sure. But I mean, the thing about it is that I've gotten really addicted to like the scenic stuff. That's the cool stuff. If you can get get over somebody going, boo, scream, like every, you know, now and then. It's really cool. They do some really cool thematic stuff.
Yeah, it looks neat. I feel like it'd be one of those things where it's kind of like horror movies. You know, I love movies, and I try to see as many horror movies as I can, and I want to sit there and appreciate them. But when I see them for the first time in the theater, I watch half the movie through my fingers, probably.
But the thing is that you just have to like think about it. It's in a theme park setting, so it's much harder to like trap you theatrically, so you can see some of the seams pretty easily. And if you go into like a Halloween Horror Nights, you're in like this conga line, they'll probably miss you. You'll see the scares like up ahead of you, and you won't even get it. It's like it doesn't even scare you anymore.
I'm into more friendly haunts. Oh my like God. Disney's.
You gotta go to the pumpkin patch or
I can't do that either because they did the scary corn rides. I love Halloween. I really like Halloween, but I like spooky Halloween. I don't like scary Halloween.
You want to pay $200 to see Judge Doom put a shoe in dip. Shoe doesn't even scream.
They spent all the money on that lightsaber and they couldn't get the shoe to scream. For Judge Doom, for a character that like 15 people in the park probably know who he is.
It's a pretty big line to see Judge Doom, man. So
Disneyland, everyone's like a hyper fan local there, so maybe they all really know. In Florida, I don't think they'd know. They'd think he's Doc Brown. They'd say,
"Oh, is that the future guy?" Okay. Well, you did say that you liked spooky Halloween more. Now, that's a good thing because today we are talking about something that is less scary. In fact, it is friendly, if you will. This is the Casper the Friendly Ghost Dark Ride. And
laughing. You're laughing at this poor ghost boy.
All he wants is a friend.
And to not die of pneumonia.
Oh, all right. Well, I guess we should get into our main topic, which is Casper. All right, here we are. Our main topic, it's Casper, the Friendly Ghost, and his unbuilt Universal Dark Ride. So, I have to ask you, what is your familiarity with Casper?
Well, honestly, I don't think I've never really interrogated that kind of background in my life before. So I think it's kind of the same as it was for Alvin and the Chipmunks, where... Some of their songs where in some cases the Casper like theme song would play at Halloween parties and things like that, just like the Alvin and the Chipmunks Christmas song would play every Christmas. But it wasn't until, frankly, today that I think I'd ever seen anything with Casper in it.
Oh,
at this point, okay. I think he's just more of an icon in cartoons and Halloween, more so than I ever had an opportunity to watch anything with him in it. In fact, I would be pressed to tell you what the plot of the original show was.
The original show. Okay. Yeah. Because we're going to get into the history of Casper. And call me a fan of Casper the Friendly Ghost is the biggest overstatement ever. I am more familiar with Casper, mostly because, and we'll be discussing this movie in a bit, they produced a massive theatrical film smack dab in my childhood in 1995, and that kind of every kid saw it. Every kid knows that movie. I mean, it's on Netflix right now. I watched it yesterday. It's top seven on the movies list on Netflix.
Top 10 today.
Yeah,
it's dropping so, on the list.
It's well, and there you go. And so people are really like catching close to Casper again. And I don't know, that kind of started, I guess you would have to say, more of a franchise in the late 90s and early 2000s. But Casper's lame. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. It's a very lame ghost boy. And that's pretty much the way I see it. And they try to balance this out with having his uncles or whatever be kind of the comic relief. But honestly, as far as funny ghost characters, I'd rather go with Beetlejuice than freaking Casper. I did watch a lot of Casper in the last 48 to 24 hours. And... oh, wow. The way that they try to make him work is very interesting. So let's get into the history. In the early 40s, Seymour Wright and Joel Aurelio created Casper the Friendly Ghost as a children's comic book, but publishers kept turning it down. Gee, I wonder why. Soon, Wright was drafted into World War II, and Joe wanted some quick cash. Instead of trying to get the book published, he made a one-time deal with Paramount Pictures' famous studio for just $175. That is over $3,000 in 2023, but unfortunately, he did relinquish all rights to any royalties for merchandising, and he also stiffed Wright out of all of this. So anything that they could have gotten out of royalties on Casper, they just turned down, and that eventually turned out to be a bad decision. But initially it wasn't so. In 1945, Famous Studio released The Friendliest Ghost, which is currently in the public domain and can be viewed online. And I did view it, and God, it's boring. It's only like 9 minutes long, but oh boy. The short introduces Casper, a small ghost with a New York accent who, unlike his ghost friends, doesn't want to scare humans but instead befriend them. He can't befriend any animals because anytime he tries to befriend animals, they go, ghost, and go run off. And then he tries to kill himself. Despite already being dead, he goes on the train tracks and tries to wait for a train to come. The train comes. Of course, it doesn't work because he's already a ghost. Then he finally meets some children who want to become his friend. Initially, the short was a flop.
Hello?
Oh. Hello.
My name is Bonnie.
My name is Johnny. What's yours?
My name is Casper.
But you could see Casper there in his original form. He has like kind of a dome head and he's on the train tracks.
Like a little kid with like a little sheet on his head. He doesn't look like very much of anything.
Yeah. Paramount stayed away from the character for a few years and then tried again with another couple of shorts in 1948 and 1949. But it didn't catch on until St. John Publications earned the comic book rights temporarily. Casper then started to catch on and with popularity, inspiring Paramount to start a new series of cartoons. Inspired by the St. John Publications in 1952, Harvey Comics purchased the comic book rights, which was such a major sensation. Casper, major sensation in the 1950s, that they ultimately bought the entire character from Paramount in 1959. And it was because Harvey created its own world with Casper as they turned it into the character we really know today, which includes the ghostly trio, his uncles, including Stinky, Fatso, and Stretch, Windy the Witch, and Spooky the Tough Ghost. Of course, the association with Harvey is how we got the theory that he is a dead Richie Rich. And you can kind of see how it looks very similar. Richie Rich looks like that. And of course, that was in The Simpsons. They mentioned that.
I think Casper's the ghost of Richie Rich.
Hey, they do look alike.
I wonder how Richie died.
Perhaps he realized how hollow the pursuit of money is and took his own life.
Kids, could you lighten up a little?
No.
In 1963, Casper got his own cartoon show with the new Casper Cartoon Show that featured many favorites from the Harvey Comics series and reunited Seymour Wright with his creation as the director of many episodes. There was also a short-lived Saturday morning cartoon in the 70s called Casper and the Angels, which, just listen to the synopsis. Casper the Friendly Ghost is a guardian ghost to two female space officers named Meanie and Maxie, who patrol the Jetson-style space city on their flying motorcycles in the year 2179. They are joined by the rambunctious but good-hearted Harry Scary, a large, shaggy, thousand-year-old ghost with a big red nose and bow tie who enjoys scaring people, especially villains and other troublemakers. But because he has a great deal of affection for his little pal Casper, he, unlike most of their ghostly kind, tries to accept the fact that the gentle ghost does not like to scare people. What is this? Why did this exist? This is like the Partridge Family in space cartoon.
Drugs.
Well, yeah, that's most of what people attribute these times with the crazy filmation and cheap knockoffs for Saturday morning cartoons. Harry Scary was also used in a Christmas special called Casper's First Christmas.
Hi.
Thank you.
where Yogi Bear and his friends from the Hanna-Barbera gang come upon Casper's house during Christmas and celebrate the holiday. Bizarrely, this comes in the conflict of a TV movie that Hanna-Barbera put out just a year later called Yogi's First Christmas, where they used many of the same songs, where Yogi had never celebrated Christmas because he always hibernates.
You said he used many of the same songs?
Yes.
They just realized they put out Casper's First Christmas and Yogi Bear was there. And then they said, you know what? This was so successful. Let's do another movie with the same music and title it the same thing, basically.
Oh, do you want to know how long Yogi's First Christmas is?
Exactly as long as the other one.
No, it is not. It is 100 minutes.
Holy shit.
Okay. And why is because they decided to make a 5-day event where they would air a half hour of this every day for a 5-day week. And then they put them all together and it's called Yogi's First Christmas. So if you watch this movie, it is insane because for at least like an hour of it, hour of the running time, it repeats the same thing three times where Yogi gets promotion. I can't believe I'm talking about Yogi's First Christmas right now.
Why do you know this?
Because I used to watch it as a kid on Cartoon Network during the holidays. Yogi gets a promotion at this ski lodge that they're trying to save because Miss Throckmorton is going to level the place. And they're trying to save it. But Yogi keeps getting promotions by this lady who demands it. And then like leads a ski class. And her nephew Snively hates Yogi Bear and tries to screw with him. But it always winds up in Yogi's favor. So they do it like 22 minutes of Yogi being a ski instructor. Now Yogi's going to be a chef. Oh, okay. Snively messes with that. Oh, now Yogi is going to be in a figure skating competition. And oh my God, it's terrible. And I love it so much. I cannot tell you how much, if you watch Yogi's First Christmas, you would be snoring within seconds. But it is like catnip to me because it was like my childhood. But it's so funny that this is basically a rerun of Casper's First Christmas. In the 90s, Steven Spielberg himself got onto a cartoon kick. Executive producing Tiny Toon Adventures and Animaniacs for Warner Brothers, he also helped Universal with live-action adaptations to animated properties. First was The Flintstones in 1994, starring John Goodman as Fred, Rick Moranis as Barney, Elizabeth Perkins as Wilma, and Rosie O'Donnell as Betty. Have you seen?
I have seen this.
Okay, what is your thoughts of The Flintstones?
Sucks.
Movie? Okay, but you have to imagine that for the 90s, the set design is pretty cool.
Yeah, the set design, well, we'll get to that later. But yeah, I mean, the set design, a lot of these younger kids' movies in the 90s, regardless of the movie's quality, are always pretty good, mm-hmm. I'd say.
Yeah, and that was kind of the thing that I mostly remember. It again, came out smack dab in my childhood. Cannot escape this movie.
The one with Kyle MacLachlan?
Yes, it's Kyle MacLachlan and Halle Berry.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyone else in it? There was Liz Taylor was her last film role. In live action. Yeah. Playing Wilma's mother. And Harvey Korman played the bird in it. But the Flintstones movie, that was a big hit. And of course they went to Steven Spielberg as it was getting ready. And they're like, I think this is going to be a big deal. And they turn to him and go, hey, what other property can adapt? And very next Memorial Day, the next one was Casper.
Again? Gosh, I don't really want to scare anyone.
Then get rid of the discount polyester bed sheet, deadhead.
Just want a friend.
Ah, that's awful.
What a sheet weenie.
Get a life.
What a waste of a death.
Being a ghost is really dumb.
That does it. Sorry, nephew, but it's time to go on the big
Mystery!
I saw a ghost.
Don't come near me, you spiteful spider!
You smell something?
Hunting season opens May 26th.
Yes, again, bone bag!
...1995's Casper was very distinct for having the world's first CGI lead character in Casper. Toy Story had yet to debut, so a lot of fuss was made about it. Casper and his cousins Stretch, Stinky, and Fatso were all translucent, cartoony CGI. The film is about a villainous Harris played by Kathy Moriarty, who inherited Whipstaff Manor in Maine and is obsessed with the treasure she heard lie within. Unfortunately, the matter is ridden with three nasty ghosts and one friendly one. She contacts a paranormal therapist, Dr. Harvey, played by Bill Pullman, whose daughter, Kat, is played by Christina Ricci, and Casper falls in love with her, leading to one of the creepiest scenes in film history.
Can I keep you?
Oh, you didn't mention Eric Idle at all.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I not supposed to mention Eric Idle in the most thankless role ever as the friend or lawyer or whatever of Kathy Moriarty or whatever?
But then you could have said Kerrigan, that
was the name.
Moriarty. You could have said that the little fuckers weren't in the room when he was making the movie.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. That's right. He had, just like Figment, he had to react to nothing. if you ask him on Twitter, he won't remember being in Casper.
Did you ask him on Twitter?
Oh, God, no. Imagine. Eric, do you still keep up with Casper? Various shenanigans occur, including bizarre cameos, insane necromancy side plots, and some delicious overacting, especially by Kathy Moriarty. It's not a very good movie, but I did watch it. I saw it in theaters. I saw it a lot in childhood. You watched it.
I watched it today while I was at work. I just had it on in the background. And
what
was
your thoughts?
I feel like I was at work today for like 10 years, oh not 8 gosh. Hours.
It's
it was hell.
An hour and 40 minute movie.
It feels like it was forever. It honestly feels like what just kept going on and on. It's just nothing. It's empty calories. You know, it's just like, it's exactly what you expect. It's the father, workaholic dad with the dead wife and his awkward daughter moving to a new town, and they encounter a thing, and then the daughter becomes friends with the thing, and they beat the bully, blah, 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 blah. They save the orphanage, and the movie ends. And it's like...
You're not putting in the fact that this has one of the strangest... like character motivations like ever. Okay, so Casper is voiced by a child. Okay, Christina Ricci in the movie is, I think, like she's like a teenager. Okay, so that's the thing. She's like good 13, 14 years old, and Casper has this massive crush on her. To the point where, like, she will get a date, and then he comes back, and then he starts bothering her and going, I could be a good dancer. Why do you need to date? I could do this. It's like being just like the biggest stalker ever.
Yeah.
He's the one who gets them to come because he sees her on TV. He gets a little ghost boner and then like transmits the image to Kerrigan to be like, send her my way. And then like he kidnaps Christina Ricci at one point. And again, there's that scene where he says like,
can I keep you?
And
he says that a lot. He always says, "Can I keep you?
Can I keep you?"
It'd be a lot funnier, or I think more endearing, if Casper thought humans were like animals that he could play with and like little toys. But he just wants to fuck the kid.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, and you can't even say it as like, oh, it's just like a schoolboy crush because he's like a child. Because no, because in a third act bizarre twist, okay, which was, as we were messaging today, was rewritten by your favorite person of all time, J.J. Abrams.
Well, it's funny, he didn't only rewrite what you're about to talk about, but he also wrote in the backstory.
Yes, he did.
For which you didn't mention either. The movie just has these two glaringly awkward moments that are far too serious for the rest of the film.
Mm-hmm. Let's just put this as in... in a lot of this, it's a lot of slapstick involving the three uncles, which are palling around with Bill Pullman. And, you know, one's voiced by Brad Garrett. And they're just like, they're doing Aladdin bits. I think that's the genie bits, you know, pretty much. Wouldn't you say that's pretty much it?
Yeah, I would basically say that. They're kind of doing the genie and every other side character, but yeah, sure.
I would say that for the time, one thing I did when I noticed rewatching it, I did notice that the character animation, and I think it's pretty easy to do back then because it's like just white ghostly images. So it's pretty easy, but it was good for 1995. It was, yeah. It's very fun, elastic, and cartoony. So that's all happening. But then there's this side plot. We basically find out that Casper had pneumonia and got sick after he, like, begs his dad for a sled, goes out sledding and catches ill, gets pneumonia, dies, and his father... like, becomes obsessed with finding a way to bring back ghosts from the dead. Now, why the father... see, he stayed, but the father dies, but his brothers stay. Doesn't make much sense. But the dad crossed over? I don't know.
It's a mystery box.
Yeah. But we find out that his name is Casper McFadden, by the way, which is funny. And they find this big machine named the Lazarus, which can bring humans back from the dead. And it's like has something to do with this potion that they only find that for some reason works, but we don't know why they never tried it. I could not make heads nor tails of it. I don't even think the screenwriters could fully wrap their heads around it. And Casper is going to bring himself back to life. Kathy Moriarty kills herself to go into the safe to get this treasure chest that contains a ball signed by a former major league pitcher. and then she crosses over. Bill Pullman dies in a freak accident, becomes a ghost, and Casper decides to sacrifice his one moment to become a human and fuck Christina Ricci, which is all he wants to do, and turn Bill Pullman back to life. And it brings him back to life, clothes and all. and then they have a dance because Christina Ricci invites all her schoolmates to dance at the manor, and Bill Pullman's dead wife comes back. And I guess when you die and become a ghost, you're a cartoony ghost, but when you cross over, you become a live action human again.
And Jesus,
is this all? And so she comes back. And it's like she's the blue fairy from Pinocchio and grants because of Casper's quote unquote sacrifice. She gives him a wish to become a real boy for like an hour or something like that.
Yeah.
So he uses that, comes back as Devon Sawa, doesn't sound anything like a child, looks like, so that way it's not creepy as shit when he does this next thing. He looks like a teenager, comes down, takes Christina Ricci and is like, we dancing. And then also whispers in her ear,
can I keep you?
And
yeah, they have like a weird sex moment. Like they have a weirdo moment.
And she's like, oh my gosh, Casper, I didn't notice that you're actually a dreamy teenager. And they kiss, and then he turns back into a creepy child ghost.
You forgot the part where Bill Pullman has this moment with his wife.
Oh, right.
He has this incredibly, like, so Bill Pullman's wife descends in a Jesus pose from the window as Casper's dancing with this girl. And then they have this, like, back and forth, and it shocked me. It shocked me because at first I was so taken aback by how absurd it all looked. And also how Force Awakens-y it felt. Like, just how... I know that's, like, maybe just my brain playing tricks on me because I know it's J.J. Abrams, but, like,
director wasn't J.J. It was Brad Silverling. No,
but the dialogue feels... It's so sopping wet in, like, the melodrama of a reuniting moment. And it's actually... The weirdest part about the ending is that it's, I think, actively the strangest part of the movie.
Oh, it is. 100%. But it comes out of nowhere.
Perhaps it's the best part of the movie because I was listening to the guy talk to his wife and I was like, okay.
I think the score by James Horner like really helps elevate things. I think
it sells it.
We tend to forget just how much of a person we lost with James Horner.
But I think the J.J. Abrams' dialogue at the end there, it's a very careful decision. It's not an incredibly innovative one to have the husband and the wife talk about things that aren't monumental. Instead of having the classic family movie big moment, they kind of just speak to each other very briefly about generic things. It's like it's a subtler moment in a really stupid movie that ends with a jazz cover of the Casper theme
by Little Richard.
Yeah, no, really? Is it really Little Richard?
Did you not? Okay, but they make it super obvious because I believe it's Stretch comes out and is dressed like Little Richard.
I see that. Yeah. I know he was dressed like it, but I thought it was just like an impression or something.
It's Little
like
Richard singing the Casper theme. But that's the strangest beautiful thing about it, we're talking about J.J. Abrams doing, he did the Act 3 rewrite. The rest of the script, now, wouldn't surprise you that it was written by Sherry Stoner and Deanna Oliver, who were Animaniacs writers. Sherry Stoner was actually the voice of Slappy Squirrel from Animaniacs. And so the rest, much of the first third of the film, it's filled with these bizarre cameo moments where, like, Ray Stantz, Dan Aykroyd runs out of the house in a Ghostbuster outfit going, who are you going to call? Somebody else. And Don DeVillo shows up. Like, it's so strange. It is such a strange movie.
The moment with the Ghostbusters had me thinking about the way that they do cameos nowadays.
Mm-hmm, try to really, like, punctuate it instead.
Well, you'd have to have a pause moment where they play the little Ghostbusters song. Mm-hmm. And like, you can't, because cameos and Funko Pops and things for loser babies are so popular nowadays. I think we have a ride to talk about actually today.
I know. But... this is starting to become the Casper the movie podcast. Yeah. Like... Well,
very briefly, just having Dan Aykroyd come out in his full outfit from Ghostbusters and a weirdo mustache. He's like a really thin science teacher mustache.
Right. Oh yeah, that was the strangest part. It's like, why is Dan Aykroyd have a mustache or something like that? Are they going to address this in a sequel to Ghostbusters Afterlife? And then there was that time I was in Maine.
So they should.
I was separated from Egon, and yeah,
is gone. He's a CGI ghost now. Oh, he's Fatso.
I don't want to talk about it. Oh,
his Fatso is the ghost name.
Yeah, Fatso's.
They sound like fetish names.
I know. Well, I think. Oh God. oh my God.
Stretch things stinky and Fatso.
Okay, so the film was a success, and there were a lot of direct-to-video sequels, which I remember seeing as a kid, like, on the video shelves, but it looks like, no thanks. Like, Casper meets Wendy, and Wendy was played by a very young Hilary Duff, or, like, Casper at a Spirited Beginning, and I was kind of curious, like, Well, hold on. So this is like the late 90s and they're still doing the CGI ghosts. Oh my God. The CGI is so bad. Like it is horrifically bad. It's like there is a reason why they had to pour a lot of good money into the original Casper for it to look as decent as it did, because wow, it is so horrible. And then they did in 2000 a Haunted Christmas movie, yeah, which is entirely CGI, and it looks, you know, the like that Rhapsody
Kids, yeah.
Rhapsody, it looks like that. It's a little better than that, but it looks like that. It's really terrible.
That's exciting. I'd watch that.
Oh my God, no, please.
I remember Casper's Scare School. I remember seeing commercials for that.
Yeah, that was in 2006, which I did also briefly look at, and it also looked horrible. There was also, I don't think it's on the show notes, there was a cartoon that they also did as a sequel to it. And it was, they took the writers, not J.J. Abrams, but the Deanna Oliver and Sherry Stoner writers, and they made a cartoon. And it is very strange because it is very similar to Animaniacs and Tiny Toons in the way it looks, in the way that it is scored and the way that the jokes are. They kind of turn, I watched like an episode of it, they turn Casper into more of what the Stinky Trio, or whatever it was, the Ghostly Trio in the original film was, where he does a lot of genie stuff and he's like always like morphing the characters, and he has like a little bit snarky personality where he's snarking to the camera a little bit. So out of all the things that came out of this random ass Casper franchise moment of the late 90s, I would have to say that that's probably the most successful thing, because the writing's probably just 90 times better than whatever else kids had to watch in the 90s. And I'm sorry, I know that when I put out a teaser tweet online, Jalen was really excited that we were going to talk about Casper, and I'm very sorry, Jalen, that we're hating on the Friendly Ghost, but not a huge fan of everything. Not a huge fan of everything here. But of course, Universal had other thoughts in mind when it came to Casper, as one knows. Universal may have ruled the roast when it came to Halloween events at their theme parks, but for a spooky dark ride like Disney's famous Haunted Mansion, there was much to be desired. So in the 1995, and for a limited time, Casper had a presence at Universal Studios Florida in the Walkthrough Casper on Location attraction. I talked to Alicia Stella about this really briefly to ask if she did it, and she did. She kind of barely remembers it. Guests could wander through the movie sets of Whipstaff Manor, pose with Casper next to Lazarus, the machine that turns people back alive, and see behind-the-scenes footage from the film. If you go on YouTube and put in Casper on Location, Universal Studios Florida, there is a very short video of it that kind of shows you some of it. The sets look incredible. I will say that. I think we were talking offline about the 95 movie and saying that the sets were really good.
They are really good. I mean, that's just kind of a fact at the time, is that they put a lot of effort into these big physical sets. So they look really nice.
Like this Whipstaff Manor, which kind of reminds me of like the Basilica at Russia. How do you pronounce it? I was, you know,
the Basilica.
Yeah, Basilica. Yeah, it kind of reminds me a bit of that. It has a very European ornate vibe. It's really cool. And I like how whimsical it looks. It doesn't look like your standard Haunted Mansion. It's very different than like the Disney Haunted Mansions, which are more antebellum or, you know, creaky old house. Is very whimsical vibe in it. However, another idea was cooking at Universal Creative. What if guests could ride through Whipstaff Manor permanently? Around the late 90s, a Casper sequel was in development, and alongside it, an interactive attraction. Guests would enter the manor and board one of four beds, one for each of the ghosts. So there were Stinky, Fatso, Stretch, and of course Casper. Four guests would seat in a vehicle, each with a bedpost reachable near them. So You would get into the vehicle, and then you would have the four bedposts next to one another, kind of like in a like Little Nemo was, if that reference even tracks for anybody. Yes. Okay, perfect.
I got that one.
All right. Guests would reach a hallway and have 2 points to travel. Majority would seemingly rule, but this doesn't explain what would happen in a tie. Maybe the system would just decide for you. I don't know. I'm getting all this information from Jim Hill, who talked about it on one of his podcasts, and I've seen some people talk about this before as well. The bed would then float into the chosen room and experience the attraction from there, as guests could route their own path through the manor. In the 1995 film itself, there was actually a ride-like portion with a chair called the Up and Atom Machine, which took the rider through a shower, a shave, and getting dressed on the way down to the laboratory. And you remember this because Casper put Christina Ricci on it, and it goes through with the chair. And I remember even thinking as a kid, like, oh, that could be a ride. So it is interesting that they did the beds instead. I don't know why, but I guess it's better than just a chair. It's unknown if this bed-centric attraction would have also recreated these elements, but it was known that plenty of Pepper's ghost effects involving Stinky, Fatso, Stretch, and Casper were involved. It's unknown if guests would go to a mirror and see themselves as Rodney Dangerfield, the Crypt Keeper, Clint Eastwood, or worse, Mel Gibson, which is an actual scene in the film. Do you remember that scene?
Yes, I remember that.
Yes, okay.
I actually had already seen your show notes before I'd watched the movie, and I had like a little bit of a shock. The Rodney Dangerfield. What audience is that joke made for?
It's made for Sherry Stoner and Deanna Oliver, who are obsessed with this kind of stuff. Hollywood cameos.
Gotcha.
Because they did that in Animaniacs all the time. So the story was unknown, but we would hope that before guests exited through the gift shop, they could hear Casper whisper in their ears.
Can I keep you?
Can I keep you? No, was that Deanna Oliver and Sherry Stoner, or was that J.J. Abrams pitching, hey, suggestion, what if he said, can I keep you?
It's such a weird thing. It just doesn't sound right. It just sounds pervy.
Yeah, it's just like all the whole thing, like where like kids, people in the 90s, and lots of these things would call women angels. Like in, it was in Phantom Menace, right?
Are you an angel?
Yeah, exactly. There you go. He says that in the movie to Bill Pullman's wife, Annie Brenneman. When she comes down, are you an angel?
There's some pretty off-color jokes in this movie.
Yeah,
the worst one by far, the joke that I thought was like, I couldn't believe it. Maybe I'm too woke nowadays, but it was when they're at breakfast and Fatso's like,
I feel like Oprah on hiatus.
You look like Oprah on hiatus.
And there's another one where Kathy Moriarty, she comes back from the dead and goes, the bitch is back. Like a Elton John reference.
They say bitch a lot in this movie.
They do. Eric Idle even goes, you know, I'm gonna get a female dog and it's gonna be a bitch just like you, right? It was just such a strange movie. Universal got cold feet when Christina Ricci declined to come back for Casper 2 in the late 90s and early 2000s and canceled the sequel. In later years, Christina Ricci said she hates herself in Casper. She hates her performance in it. What was your thoughts of her and Casper? I don't think it's...
Which one's Christina Ricci?
She's
the kid?
Little girl. She's the kid.
She sucked. She's terrible.
Oh,
she's also
wow.
A little
kid. You agree with Christina Ricci.
She was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Her just delivery was just really...
I think it was she was coming off of Adam's Family. And in that, as Wednesday, she had to be kind of like really droll and sarcastic.
It just sounded like people were talking like this. This is how I'm acting because I'm in this. It's just a case of poor direction. And you're like, what, 15 years old?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, yeah, she's far better in other things. So although Casper was fairly popular in the 90s and has come be somewhat of a cult classic over the years for millennials. When I went on the YouTube and I look at the comments of the people talking about the Can I Keep You scene, they're like, I had such a crush on Devon Sawa. I was like, yes. And I'm like, okay, yeah, he's dreamy, I guess, but Can I Keep You? Ooh. I don't know, man. The top brass decided that it was not enough of a cash cow brand to build an extremely elaborate dark ride over. The idea of selecting paths did seem to come about with the creation of the trackless ride system, which Casper would have been a shoe-in for, but it looks like visiting Whipstaff Manor will have to stay in the hearts of 90s kids instead. However, there was eventually a Casper dark ride, when in 2017, Sally Dark Rides released the Casper's Birthday Blast concept. It was sold to Malaysia's MAPS Perak, which stands for Movie Animation Park Studio Perak. Oof, that is a mouthful. And lasted 3 years before permanently closing due to the COVID-19 pandemic in January 2020. Per the site, Gasper, the friendly ghost, is celebrating his birthday, but his cousins have slimed the entire mansion with sticky ghost goo. Oh, God. What? No. Gross.
Delicious.
Only you can help him save the day. Compete with your fellow riders to see who can zap away the most goo and wield the high score. Again, like a Boo Blasters. And you can see that I personally like the Casper of the past and like in the 90s, especially the versions of Stinky, Stretch, and Fatso. I don't like these new
ones. They look the same in the new one.
I don't think they look the same.
They all look the same as each other. It looks uniform. There's very little in their design distinguishing them.
Yes,
but this is just another case of cheap. The problem is that once 3D got bigger, people started making 3D without learning 2D. So like when you see the ones in the 90s movie, they're drawn like 2D characters, stretchy. Exactly. Right, but when you construct humans in 3D like this with this cheap ass animation and no talent for art, then you just get like, it's the ghost boys. They all look the same.
Yeah.
No, one's you're right. Bigger than the other ones. So, yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. I couldn't find any ride feed videos of it. It must not have been much to talk about. It only lasted 3 years in Malaysia. I don't know what else to say. It looked like a crappy dark ride based on a kind of, I don't want to say it, but a kind of a crappy premise. But what if Universal built this Casper dark ride with the beds and choosing and with the bedposts that you could select where you went? Personally, I don't think it would have been possible with a track. And I think a lot of ideas here and there of when this got discussed, probably through Universal Creative. And just to let you know, Legacy Entertainment also did pitch, because some people might bring this up, they did pitch a Casper inverted dark ride, Universal's Hollywood Land, which never got built. We will discuss that when we get to that theme park eventually. So just to let you know, I'm not forgetting that, but that was just part of a larger pitch overall. So we're just going to focus on this instead. The whole idea, it had to be trackless. It just had to be. I cannot see this not being a trackless attraction, because that would make a lot more sense. I know there are some tracked dark rides with bus bars and do have an element where you can decide your own ending, and it actually does go into a different ending. And I believe it's at some parks overseas, a park overseas that has that, but not the entire attraction where you can pick and choose where you went and it's like this massive show building. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I think you could do it as a tracked attraction. I just think it would be a really bad one. Like, I think it would just be, as in, so the if I understand correctly, let me make sure I understand correctly. You're going to have a vote where the track splits, right?
Correct.
And you would do it just like any other track would split, where the track, where there's a part of the track that rotates.
It has to be a track switch, yeah.
Exactly. It's a track switch, and if the majority of people pick left, it goes left, and if it's a tie, it probably just defaults to right, or it goes right if a majority of people pick right, right? There would just be like a basic default. Well, I think you would just have a really boring ride. Like, to be clear, I don't think it would be like an incredibly exciting track switch.
No. And the thing you have to remember, though, is that track switch, more and more elements that you put on your attraction that require your track to switch, the more and more complicated and more downtime you have. So doing an attraction that has to wind up in the same exact location at the end of it, probably with the exact same throughput capacity, so you have to add the exact same length, and you are track switching multiple times. I mean, we're talking like a couple dozen track switches.
Or There's just a point in the ride that where there's a parallel line, and it's only and there's only one vehicle on the track at one time. God. Yeah, I think it would be boring. Part of my point would be, what if this was built, is that there would be a ride in Universal that everyone calls the Shitty Haunted Mansion.
Starring that ghost boy.
Yeah, remember the Casper movie from the 90s? Oh yeah, Universal built that ride that looks like the Haunted Mansion, but it sucks. Like, I just think that would be the legacy there.
Wouldn't it be much cooler if it was a trackless ride? Then you could do whatever you want. No, but I mean, this would have been, this was nearing the late 90s.
Oh, sure. Late 90s
is when Pooh's Honey Hunt appeared.
Oh, come on.
So, but I'm just saying, it was in the realm.
No, this is like, okay, fine. Then this would open and everyone would be like, man, remember the time Universal made shitty Mystic Manor?
Mystic Manor wouldn't have existed for 13 more years.
This wouldn't have existed for 13 more years if it was trackless. Pooh's Honey Hunt was like, there's a 99. Reason why we know Pooh's Honey Hunt as what it is. If it was, if there was any other attraction like it in like the Western parks until, what was the first trackless ride that came over here?
Okay, the first trackless ride that came over to the States?
Yeah, in a major theme park.
Oh, okay, in a major theme park. That would be in Antarctica. If you're talking about a major theme park, yeah, that's Antarctica. It's at SeaWorld Orlando in 2013.
So 2013.
Yes.
And this is the 90s.
Yeah, I know. So
your proposition is that Universal should have jumped on the trackless bandwagon 15 years before. That's a conservative yet. You know, but 15 years before anyone else would ever touch it.
No, that's not true. So there were trackless rides in the United States before that too, here and there. But they were kind of they weren't in major theme parks though, because EFT would make little trackless dark rides as well. It was a technology that. Yes, was expensive, but you could still make smaller versions of it if you wanted to. It just, for some reason, Disney and Universal, I mean, Universal really, really hasn't done it yet. They keep proposing, but never doing it. But
I think that if you think about it this realistically,
but the thing is that it could have been cool.
Opened and been boring.
I think if they want a trackless route, if they wanted to jump the gun and really wow people, and it was a trackless dark ride, I think it could have been cool.
It's the Casper ride.
Oh my God. The sets are cool. I'm sorry, but that's
when we talk about. This is like the divorcing skirmish of the what if part of the show. Yeah, I guess I could say, well, what if it's a 3-tier dark ride that used early VR technology? And like, it's like a what if anything. But what's more likely is that they would have built the most bland haunted mansion you've ever seen. Where a bunch of little static figures, like the Cat in the Hat ride.
Oh, God.
A fatso jump out at you and go blah, 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 blah. And that's it. That's probably all it would be. Except, unlike the Cat in the Hat ride, it would split on a track.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, even if they, I would have taken it if they did it more like the Secret Life of Pets ride. Where you go through it and it's just a bunch of scenes. And I would have been fine with that. The interactive,
the front of the ride, it says no fatsos allowed.
Oh my God. And Brad Garrett comes on and it's like, well, I mean, I voiced him, but I'm not fat myself, so I'm good. But you go on it and it's just a bunch of scenes, but you're going through these really cool sets. I think that would have been cool. Now, I understand what you're talking about, the limitations of a tracked dark ride interactive experience. No, I totally get that. I just think it is within the realm of possibility that if Universal wanted to, they could have taken on trackless ride technology to make this work. It would have been a very, very daunting thing to do, especially since getting these trackless rides to work have still been very difficult, and getting them to make a different decision in a ride path, that's also difficult. So like they could have tried. I don't know if it would have fully worked.
Would it really
but
be
it's
that
possible.
Difficult? All things considered, I'm not proposing. Like to be clear, I think we're thinking of very different things because I may be a bit more cynical here. If you have two parallel lines where it's equivalent time to get through both of them, and you just like push go through the here's the kitchen or no, think about it like Yeah, fine, whatever. Here's the kitchen and here's the study. And then you pick left and you go to the study. And then you come back to the original track.
Uh-huh.
Like, I feel like that's what the best case scenario would have been.
No, I
here.
See what you're saying, yeah. No, and
that doesn't seem like that hard.
Yeah.
It is lame. It is super lame.
If you want to see an example of this, have we talked about the motion gate stuff on here in Dubai?
I think so. I thought we did. Yeah.
I think we did. Yeah. I think we did with the Ghostbusters. Yeah. Yeah. There's also a Hotel Transylvania ride, and it is trackless, but it's not where you can make a decision, but it is so exactly what you're talking about. It is incredibly what you're talking about. There is a main room, and there are side rooms. And the trackless ride would go into the main room, and then we go into some of the side rooms, come back into the main room, go one of the side rooms, come back to the main room, go one of the side rooms, come back to the main room, side room, enter the attraction. And that's what I think that this ride could have possibly been if they did it, which makes this, you could have different things that you could see, but... What's much better, I think, is just a linear experience going and seeing some really cool effects. And
I would imagine that's what this would be. You keep poo-pooing it,
but it's they could have had some cool ghost effects. They did Men in Black, Alien Attack. That was really good at that time. Yeah, Cat in the Hat, not so great. But if they really focused on this being Pepper's ghost, cool effects like that, and stayed with the sets... You know, that would have been better. That would have been really cool. Despite the fact that it's themed around fucking Casper.
I think it would be a cute little fun house. You know, it would be a spooky ride. I aside from the, you know, let's step away from that technology that we can't seem to agree whether it would exist or not. It probably would be a pretty decent ride. I mean, it depends on how cheap they got. And I think if you really went ahead and said, okay, well, we want to build something that does rival Disney's Haunted Mansion. So let's put a lot of effort into this. Mm-hmm. What's weird to me, though, I will say, is that the Pepper's Ghost effect is nostalgic today.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Unless you're saying like they would modernize it by having a more complicated animatronic rig.
Yeah, it could be.
Because if they did it in the same way,
they'll probably do a lot of projection effects as well.
Yeah. To me, I didn't grow up in Casper Fever. And actually, this is where it would be helpful to have Jalen here.
Casper
Well, whatever. It seems like people liked Casper.
I don't think they liked Casper. I think that somebody in Universal high up is like, well, going in bigger than Casper. Everything's Casper. And the 90s kids went, all right, sure. This is an all right movie. And they're like, more Casper. And they're like, no. What? You don't want Casper?
Well, people talk about this movie. It's top 10 on Netflix.
I'm talking about the movie.
But this is about the movie.
But you're talking about the franchise.
No. I mean that at this time, there was a popular... People wanted more Casper enough that it got DVD sequels and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish... If we had someone like Jalen here, he might be able to be like, oh, well, actually... People loved Casper and they were going to put all this money in here because this is another one of those cases. I think
people like that movie. They very, very much do. I'm not saying that. 3 years old
when they watched it.
Yeah. I'm just saying that I think that for anything else not involving that movie, people were a little bit more coolish too.
I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering... I mean, obviously, this wasn't like the Minions. This didn't blow up into a international...
They were hoping that everybody would be putting Fatso memes on Facebook nowadays.
Fatso memes. There is a website, I'm sure, devoted entirely to Art of Fatso, but I don't think it's Facebook.
Time to look up Fatso Rule 34.
Don't you... I know it exists. I've never seen it, but I know it exists.
He cross-dressed in the movie.
He did. He had the big jiggle physics on his boobies.
I think if you oh my god, I wanted to see what would come up as Google suggestions if you put in fat.
You looked it up,
and no, I'm on Google. What do you think the first suggestion after Fatso Casper is?
It's Rule 34.
No,
no. What is it?
Woman. There's also Casper Fatso in drag.
Oh, I mean, God. It was maybe a and very.
If you Google it, the so many of the images suggested are him in drag with the bosoms. Oh wow, this is going into the initial Twitter post.
Yes, Fatso. No, dear God. People are going to come out and they're going to say they have fetishes for Fatso and they're going to be mad. They're not going to like that we're making fun of them.
Yeah, sorry.
Every time I say something about furries, I'm very scared that I'm going to alienate some of our audience.
Ooh, you could buy a vintage 1994 Tyco Fatso puppet. Oh, it's a plush with glowing eyes.
No, I think that I would really love to know what people's thoughts were on Casper at the time, how popular it was, because that would help me better gauge what if this was built. Because unfortunately, sometimes when we talk about these, you know, we talk about something like the Nightmare Before Christmas attraction, where if we know it was built, or excuse me, we know what it would look like if it was built, so we can see exactly what the concept art would have felt like, and we can kind of get an idea for how big it would have been. Mm-hmm. Opposite to that, but similarly, the Garfield attraction was very cheap and yes, nothing worth paying attention to, which also made it incredibly easy to talk about it because we knew exactly how they were going to be treating the property. With Casper, mm-hmm, it's a little bit more difficult, at least for me, because I fundamentally don't know what to say about Casper, because on one hand, I've been on the little Scooby-Doo ghost thing at Carowinds a long time ago, and I know how cheap that was.
Well, that was Sally.
No, so, that was Sally. Right. I'm not saying that it's the same company. I mean that I know what a cheap haunted house looks like. Mm-hmm. Right, it's one of the easiest things to do in a theme park is a cheap little spooky attraction.
Right,
but I also know that the other end is either the Haunted Mansion or better. Right, like you're kind of implying, well, what if it was trackless? Then we might get something closer to the Haunted Mansion or better, something more inventive. I'm on the cynical side because I don't understand the Casper hype, Casper fever, Casper mania, as they say.
Everyone was
doing the Casper.
Yeah.
They
late 90s. And then 9/11 happened, and everyone was like, everybody's Casper now. No, thank you.
Yeah. 9/11. Yeah. What the fuck? Do you mean like they're dead? What does that mean?
Yeah, because they don't want to think about the implications of death anymore. Now
that's
that
true. Casper was no longer popular.
Yeah. but yeah, no, Casper, I would have to say that I think this is just a Universal searching for a property to do a ride genre with, and they wanted to do their own Haunted Mansion. And sure, I think it's a great idea. It's an idea they still, I mean, they're going to do at Epic Universe. They're going to have this monster's ride, but it's not a dark ride. It is a dark ride, but it's not your traditional haunted house dark ride. It's this Kuka arm, crazy, you know, intense ride. And then they have this spinning coaster that they're going to have, but they're not going to have the traditional, like, sit in a chair and go through a house dark ride. And again, even though it's not one of those, but the thing that has come the closest to this type of ride, and you could talk about the restrictions of the ride, whatever, I don't care, but the Secret Life of Pets ride, where you go in, it's a bunch of animatronics and a bunch of scenes like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little house tour,
right? And yeah, that's all I'm asking for. That's really what I want. And I think the whole interactive aspect is probably thinking a little too hard about it, but you just go through Whipstaff Manor and maybe like encounter that little machine that Christina Ricci was riding the chair on, and then you go see the Lazarus machine, and Bill Pullman goes in, and now he's alive, and You go into some mirrors and Fatso's which one are you going to get? You're going to get Fatso, you're going to get Stinky, you're going to get Stretch, and then Stretch maybe like, you know, he goes bah, and then it's the Figment skunk smell or the bug and Sink Bug, and it's tough to be a bug, and everyone's like, oh no, you got Stinky. Oh no. And that's
it. Oh no, Tits, take a picture of him and drag.
Oh no. That's the Fatso one. It's
oh,
him
yeah, I forgot.
In your ride car, jiggling his boobs, you know.
Whoa.
Well, the one thing I will say is that unfortunately, what it seems like you're saying is that this attraction either sucks or it's derivative. And that doesn't.
I'm going the dummy version of it. I'm just saying that's kind of like, that's more of what I would want out of a Casper attraction.
Yeah, I mean, it's just slapstick.
Yeah, exactly. It's fun. You get to see these whimsical sets. You know, maybe ironically, they had the best version of it in that limited time Casper on location thing, which like Alicia was telling me they did one for the Flintstones movie, they did one for Lost World Jurassic Park, and then this one blew my mind. They did one for Small Soldiers, which
really?
Is like, what? She's like, yeah, they did one for Small Soldiers. And I'm like, they did one for what? Small Soldiers, the Joe Dante film? That I gotta look that up on YouTube. I gotta see what a Small Soldiers walkthrough attraction was like. That is strange.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But maybe that was the best version of it, where you just walk through the sets. Because those sets are really cool. Again, look it up on YouTube. It looks really cool. I miss when things were practical in the 90s. What can I say?
I'm really racking my head on this one. And unfortunately, if you had to ask me what if, I would say they would cheap out on it.
Okay. So you're saying they were going to cheap out on it and it would have been the most boring ride ever.
Little rinky dink little horror ride. Mm-hmm. You're in a little bed, I guess. Mm-hmm. You like the Willy Wonka family.
Yeah. Could you imagine if this existed 2023, based on the 30-year-old Casper movie?
Yeah, well, I think it would still be around. I'll say that. I don't know. I can't think of a good.
Christina Ricci and Bill Pullman would be in there.
No, probably not. I don't think they would be in it anyways.
No, I don't think so.
No, I think it would be far more likely that this would. I mean, either A, would be bulldozed within like 3 years, or B, it would just be sticking around forever. You know, I don't see any. I can't in my mind think of them replacing it. With any specific property, now that I think about it. Like, I don't think it seems like it would be. Where would it go, actually? That's a good question.
You know what? I never could get a handle on that. Probably just some random corner of the park. It's my
kids' zone or whatever.
Maybe, where was where that Psycho House was. Maybe they'll put it there. I mean, it's another kid-friendly attraction. I can't imagine it would be too scary or anything.
No, I'd probably be silly.
Yeah, honestly, you know, there was another Universal movie that involves a creepy house that I would have rather seen become one of these rides. Can you guess what it is? I'll give you a hint. It's animated.
Monster House?
No. Oh. It's animated. And there's a portal in the house.
What the fuck?
It is Coraline.
Oh, that's Universal?
Yeah, that's Universal.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I would have loved to see
it. I haven't seen it.
I would have loved to see a Coraline attraction. Unfortunately, I mean, if they came out like the, somebody leaked out concept art of Korean Universal was thinking of making a Coraline attraction. And I would have been like, hooray! Maybe somebody like will reply on Twitter that we're making a Coraline attraction. I'm like, oh, all right, Dorman, next week's the 1 in 2 weeks, it's canceled. I already know what it is. It's a Coraline attraction. I would do that in a heartbeat because I love that movie.
It just seems like the idea of having a dark ride through these wacky and energetic, spooky kind of films is a no-brainer because they're so creative. The sets are so creative in the case of Casper. Mm-hmm. The designs are so creative in the case of Coraline.
Yeah.
That's just the dream.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you have to watch the Casper movie.
To get it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you're a millennial when you're like, I love watching Casper. I watch it every Halloween.
People watch
and when,
dog shit.
When Devin Sawa tells Christina Ricci, can I keep you? my heart melts. I wanted to be him.
I will say, on one hand, this looked better than Muppets Haunted Mansion.
And it was Muppets also Haunted better. Mansion was oh, okay. All right.
And second,
okay. All right.
For every, I was watching this movie, and when they kick, they kick Casper at the breakfast table, the three brothers, mm-hmm. and he's got a nice Nike shoe plastered against the screen.
Of course he does.
And I couldn't really, help but think.
You really think that Haunted Mansion 2023 invented product placement?
That's what I was going to just about to say. I was going to say that, honestly, it might just be in the DNA of these shitty horror movies to just product placement the fuck out of everything. I do swear a lot on this show. Apparently, I heard from my dad, you don't cut them out sometimes.
Oh, I don't. No, I stopped cutting them out. I'd rather make this an explicit thing.
I was told this is an I always thought you were beeping them out, though. Like, I was at first,
and then I got lazy and decided, I'll just mark it as explicit.
Well, I didn't know that. Now all my employers are going to contact me and say, you are very bad. You say very bad words on the Unbuilt podcast.
Your employer was going to say, we were going to hire you. Then we heard your words about Casper.
Then we heard you talk shit about the Muppets Haunted Mansion, which looks like crap.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I mean, I'll say that it doesn't look great, but I still like Muppets Haunted Mansion, you hater.
You like anything Muppets. You're like these Casper people.
I do not like Muppets Wizard of Oz. I think that is
A low bar. Yeah. That is a low bar. That is not a fair, does not get you out of the allegations. I think, compared to, it's funny, I was thinking about the product placement, the onion rings, the Burger King.
The jalapeno tots.
That's what it was. I thought, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, he thinks it's tater tots, but it's jalapeno poppers.
Oh, that's right. Burger King has all these delicious menu items. Mm-mm. It's 2-for-1 in the advertisement because they first get you with the tater tots, and what's that? We don't just have tater tots. We also have jalapeno poppers.
Tater tots aren't your thing. You know what they say. Have it your way at BK.
Burger King doesn't have tater tots.
Have it your way at BK.
They don't have tater tots.
It doesn't matter. You're going to go to BK. You're going to demand tater tots. The song says, have it your way.
You know what's really sad? I still get the Michaels commercial for Haunted Mansion 2023. Like Michaels Arts and Crafts.
I still get the State Farm one.
Well, the problem is that you can tell it's the same commercial and they got a different person to come in and say, now streaming on Disney Plus.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, how fucking cheap are you?
It worked. It's like top three trending.
No, it didn't work.
Trending.
No one saw it.
Top three trending on Disney Plus. People are watching it there.
Yeah, because you dropped $140 a year to watch something. You have Ahsoka and you have Haunted Mansion. Which one are you going to watch?
At least you do have something good of Loki. And I'm sorry, but
now you're watching
most MCU shows are bad, but I'm still standing for Loki. Also with Owen Wilson. It's actually a lot of fun, to be honest. Yeah.
Maybe I'll watch it.
Yeah. So anyways, let's finally go to Build It or Not. Do you want to build the Casper ride? Yes or no?
Honestly, when I texted you or I sent you a DM on Twitter or X or whatever you call it.
It's still Twitter.
Sure. When I sent you a DM on Twitter, I called this movie, I think, Empty Calories. And that's what I stand by. It's empty calories. There's nothing going in and there's nothing going out. It's a movie that'll take your time for an hour and 40, and it's not going to do much to you, which means I can't quite say don't watch the Casper movie. Similarly, because it's like doing nothing, right? I can't really argue against doing nothing. Similarly, for the Casper attraction, while I think that the actual outcome would probably be a really cheap dark ride with maybe some interesting elements, like a choose your own direction with a track switch that doesn't ultimately amount to anything, and probably a slapstick copy of the Haunted Mansion. I can't really say no, because I don't think it's a very offensive and like bad idea. It's just not one that I personally think would pan out. Okay. And if we're generally saying it's going in probably in Florida, kid zone, or just some area of
somewhere.
The park.
Somewhere. We don't know what it's replacing.
Well, if we use our deduction minds, mm-hmm. it probably wouldn't be closing anything good.
True.
And if it's in a place that's like Harry Potter right now, then it would be closed, so it doesn't matter. Maybe the little troll heads would sing the Casper theme song.
Okay, so Justin Timberlake would be like, Casper, the friendly ghost, you know, so yeah, okay.
Not those trolls, the ones in Diagon Alley.
Oh, those ones! I thought you were talking about the trolls because they're coming to Kid Zone.
No, those
are... Oh, you're talking about those trolls!
No, the, is that a DreamWorks Shrunken movie?
Heads. Yes!
Yes, those they're are going to be animated in Singapore. Coaster.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that I would say build it. Yeah, go ahead. I don't. Okay, I can't see a reason not to. I'd like to see it. I'd be very curious.
I agree with you. I want to see what it looks like. I think the sets are really cool, and if you build an attraction around that and a lot of cool ghost effects, have at it. I don't care about this interactive element, and maybe if that didn't work out, I don't even care, because that's not the selling point to me. The selling point is these sets. And again, if anything, go on to Casper on Locations on YouTube and look at that. Cool sets. That's the best thing about the movie, and then would be taking that and replicating it. So yes, I do say build it. I don't even care if Casper and his weird uncles are in it. I don't even care if Christina Ricci is in it or Bill Pullman. I don't care if anybody in there. I'll just be there for the sets. That's cool. That's good enough. with that said, we are going to be back in a couple weeks with one more spooky little episode. Before we conclude, do you have anything else to say about Casper?
Honestly, no.
Would you be his friend? Would you be his friend if he asked?
Would I be Casper's friend?
Yeah, would you be Casper's friend? He always asks.
He's kind of a freak. He's kind of a pervert. And
okay.
Like, his brothers seem like assholes, but like they're kind of funny. Mm-hmm. Casper's a weirdo. He's a bit obsessive. He's a stalker. He's love bombing. He's guilting this poor girl.
If he wasn't such a simp. Or you even know. You don't even
he's
know
even
that he's a simp.
He's a monster. He's evil. He's manipulative.
If you just ran into Casper on the street and, you know, you were like, he was like, hey, what's
he's
up?
He's bald. He's a little bald baby, and I don't think I'd talk to him.
Oh, poor
You mean
Casper.
Like he's a ghost still, or he's a human if I run into him?
Yeah, he's still a ghost. Still a ghost.
I run into him on the street and he says, oh, I heard you did the Unbuilt show, where I'm reading the newspaper. He's reading the newspaper. We bump into each other.
Yeah, he has his little ear pods and they're floating.
He has his own ear pods?
Yeah, he does.
How come they do the thing where they're like, hey, Casper, or no, she's like, can you turn invisible? He's like, sure. And then he does. And I thought that was just going to come back at the end. Like, that's like the moment where they tease that's how he saves the day, is by becoming invisible.
I don't know. It's show off.
But it never
moment.
Comes back.
Probably a show off moment by.
But Casper's too young for me. I feel like we wouldn't have a lot to get along with.
All right.
Like, he's too, he wants to play like stickball. That's why one likes him, is because he's a kid who died in the 50s.
Just like, he's just like really, he's surprisingly into independent film. And he's comes
really?
Up to you.
Oh,
yeah, he comes up to you and he's like, hey, did you see the latest release for A24? And you're like,
says A24?
But the thing is you see about A24 now going into action films. He's like, yeah, it's a shame. You know, it would be nice if they kept it, you know, what the more, you know, focusing on the lesser artists, you know, that really need the exposure. And you're like, yeah, I know. And he goes, yeah, I was just, you know, thumbing through the Criterion catalog the other day.
I would start a podcast with him. I'd start my own podcast with Casper.
Yeah, it's the,
but then we would get canceled, because shortly after it would turn out that like we got big. Anchor decided to reopen for us.
Casper on Criterion.
Casper would go to the Criterion closet. He would pick his movies, and then in our Discord server, Casper would keep asking the female fans if he could keep them. Yeah, and it would get to like some of them were 16, and Casper says he didn't know.
That's in the Twitter DMs.
Well, Casper says he's a ghost who's like, he says he's a 12-year-old ghost, but we know he's hundreds of years old at this point.
It's your own Justin Roiland moment, but it's
Casper. I'm like Dan Harmon. I've been producing the podcast like separate from Casper. Casper's been driving around RC cars around the podcast headquarters. We don't know what he's doing anymore. He's been not even been a part of the show for long enough, and now it turns out he did all this stuff, and I'm doing my own thing with my new Crapopolis. Did anyone watch? Anyone watching?
No,
Crapopolis?
I saw an episode. It's terrible.
Don't watch it. It's terrible. I was watching a movie on Tubi and I saw an ad for Crapopolis and I thought, this looks like shit.
Yeah.
All animation now has to, by requisite, look like complete shit.
That's true. I saw
this trailer for this new Cartoon Network show about like a feather or something. Did you see that today?
No.
I don't know. TV show on Cartoon Network. And it's just like, there's just some rider in all of these clauses that all animation now has to look like garbage.
Ugh, that's sad. It's true.
Yeah. Well, don't worry. Wish is coming out. So.
Yeah, it's going to
And everyone's going to stream
all.
It on Disney Plus, and then the Red. Compression is going to make it look bad, because that's why it looks bad.
Okay. All right. So, in the meantime, please follow us on social media, on Twitter, at UnbuiltPod. You can reach me at Open Mother's Mail and Ryan Dorman at Open the Dorman. Feel free to email us at UnbuiltPod@gmail.com and write us wherever you find the podcast. And just really quickly, just to let you guys know, to peel back the curtain, we used to have monetization through Spotify, through doing some ambassador ads. Unfortunately, they changed their regulations and we fell short of the amount of listeners that we needed by a couple hundred. So we're no longer getting those monetization and that helps the podcast through, even though we stream for free, we do have stuff like Zencaster, which costs us money. So if you guys can, we do have a Ko-Fi at ko-fi.com/unbuiltpod. Please donate to that. We do have bonus episodes, which are really cool, but it would really help me keep the show going through Zencaster, and I don't want to go to Zoom because the quality's worse. So if you can help, that would be great. Ko-fi.com/unbuiltpod. For $3 a month, you can get bonus episodes. For $5 a month, you could get your name read on the show. We would like to thank our current contributors, Joseph and Tony and Jalen Harvey. Welcome. Thank you so much, Jalen. Please write a review and tell us how we're doing. If you don't like us, thank you for listening to I Talk to Ghosts. I'm Jennifer Page. See you guys.
See ya.
No!